This is the Stockton San Joaquin County Public Library. Hi, and welcome back to the Goodreads Virtual Book Club. If you're new here, we have a book club on goodreads.com, search SSJACPL, where we read a new book every month. For this month, since May was Mother's Day, we read a book about motherhood with a twist. So we read The Push by Ashley Audrain. Elsa, would you like to introduce yourself real quick?
Hello, I'm Elsa. I work here at the Cesar Chavez Library.
Yes, and I wrangled her to do this book club with me, and maybe more in the future, so stay tuned. So once again, we read The Push by Ashley Audrain, and this definitely is motherhood with a twist. So the basics of this book is we have three generations of women, and each of them have, I mean, you could say, this is very lightly, but you could say they have a difficult time with motherhood. Let's just say that. I think Elsa would agree with
yeah.
me. And mostly we're following a young woman named Blythe, and she is just had her first child, Violet, and is kind of questioning what kind of kid Violet is. We don't really know, and you don't really find out until the end exactly what's going on with Violet. So let's go ahead and get into it and see what we think about what's going on with Violet and what's going on in The Push. So we do have, The Push is wonderful, and it does have a reader's guide that is available, and we'll include it in the link below. And that's what we're going to use to base our discussion of The Push about. So I guess first we can always start with, what did you think? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
I couldn't put it down. It made me very uncomfortable, but I couldn't stop reading it. Motherhood, I guess, already makes me uncomfortable, and this didn't help. I don't know. It was just so complicated because you mm-hmm. feel like you're being gaslit.
Yes.
I mean, is Violet an evil child? Is Blythe just struggling with, does she have postpartum? Like, you don't know what's going on, and it's, is she evil? Is she not evil? And, I mean, I couldn't put it down. So, yes, I did like it, but it was very, it was an uncomfortable read.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was propulsively readable.
Yeah.
In the sense that you could, like you said, you couldn't stop reading it. You really want to know, you want to figure out what exactly is going on with Violet. There's a lot of, like, bad seed moments. If anybody remembers that movie from the 60s with the little girl and the blonde pigtails. But you're unsure what exactly is happening. And, I mean, mostly we do get Blythe's perspective on things. So you do have to take that into consideration when you're reading because she is not the most reliable of narrators.
Yeah.
So, you, like Elsa said, you're just really unsure. Like, is this just something that Blythe perceives? Is she throwing a lot of emotions onto Violet that Violet is, like, she's, for the most part, when a lot of stuff is going down, she's, like, four. So, yeah. I mean, is, like, a four-year-old really cognizant enough to do these things that Blythe believes Violet does? Is Blythe just really struggling through a lot of postpartum depression? And that kind of goes back to this first question in the reader's discussion, is Blythe does struggle a lot with feelings of inadequacy to live up to this ideal of motherhood that she has. She herself didn't have the greatest mother. So there is three generations of women in this book, and you do get little snippets of the other two. Mostly it's Blythe, but it starts with Etta, and then Cecilia is Blythe's mother, and then Blythe. And she doesn't have, none of them really have the greatest example of motherhood or what motherhood can look like in its best instances. They have kind of like the worst instances.
They do. I mean, Etta, I don't remember anything about Etta's upbringing. I don't know if it was mentioned.
I don't know if it was mentioned either. I do think that her mom was somewhat absent from what I remember.
Yeah, because I feel like in the beginning when they're kind of introducing her, it was more of like dealing with her father, and
yes,
then everything went down with her.
Yes, because mostly what you find out about Etta is how much she struggles with depression. In her upbringing, even as a child, how much she struggles with her pretty debilitating depression, and how that affects everyone around her.
Yeah. And also just like the person that she fell in love with, mm-hmm. and what happens with him, and
yes,
just really traumatizing. So I can't imagine that Cecilia would
No.
have the best upbringing.
No, there is a scene in the book. This is not giving anything away. We will try and keep this as spoiler free as possible. And if we do give anything away, I'll be sure to say spoiler before we say it. But there is a scene when Etta traps Cecilia in the crawl space.
Yes.
Which, I mean, really, really, really messes with Cecilia's psyche. She becomes claustrophobic thereafter and can't go in any small space or any basement or anything.
Yeah.
But also doesn't have the tools to vocalize that. Like, it's
yeah.
just like a secret.
There are a lot of secrets. It just...
Yes.
With, I think, Cecilia's stepfather...
Yes.
Henry. Where they just kind of have an understanding that they don't talk about things. Mm-hmm. And then with Blythe and her father, they're like, we're not going to talk about
yes.
all these things that are happening in our house. We're just going to turn the other way.
Yeah.
Or just let things slide.
Yes. Which is really interesting. And I just now kind of connected those dots. But pretty much all of the men in this book are very passive.
Yes.
They really just kind of take a step back from anything that's happening and they don't actively cause damage per se, but they don't actively try and fix anything
yeah.
either. And they mostly just want to stay out of the picture.
They're really absent, but even with Fox.
Yes.
Husband of Blythe and Violet's father, he is very loving, but is just like a fun parent that doesn't really want to be there for the ugly parts.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. Like Fox, he clearly loves Violet, but he can see no wrong with Violet, even when directly presented with something that would at least cause some concern. We're kind of hopping all over the place, but there is an instance with Violet in her preschool where a lot of kids don't want to sit next to her and act scared of her, and he just thinks it's because she's so smart, but they don't look further into it.
Yeah, and well, when Blythe vocalizes the things that she's concerned about,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like it takes her a while to get to the point where she's openly talking about what's making her uncomfortable or her concerns about Violet. When she does vocalize those concerns, Fox is like,
you're crazy, basically. Because
yeah.
he doesn't see it.
Yeah.
He doesn't see the side of Violet that Blythe sees, which, I mean, I guess this is a good point to kind of talk about Blythe and Violet. Like, pretty much all of these three generations of women didn't necessarily want to be mothers in the first place.
Yeah.
I think Blythe is the first one that wants to have this picture-perfect family. She grew up next to her neighbors, and she considered them like the epitome of a
yeah.
picture-perfect family, mom, dad, two kids. And the mother in that family was very, very loving and openly showed her affection. And I think that's what she's striving for. But she's had, besides that, she's had no real models of active
yeah.
parenting, really, because her father wasn't
no.
really active in her life either.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to create this image of what she feels is the perfect family and trying to be as good of a mother as she knows how to be. And Elsa, you mentioned it in the beginning, it seems like she's going through some severe postpartum depression. It's never really brought up it's never confirmed if she is or isn't, but pretty much from birth is when Blythe and Violet have like an immediate contentious relationship.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure they had like issues with breastfeeding. She just she just couldn't connect with, which I feel like is a sign of postpartum depression. But we're a little confused, or it's a little ambiguous. Mm-hmm. And I feel like her husband, Fox, also at some point was... I feel like they've spoken about Cecilia Blythe's mother, and he kind of brought that up when she brought up her concerns about not being able to connect. I'm like, well, you had this type of relationship with your mom, and I'm like, well... She's bringing up valid concerns, but is it just because of her past? Is she just seeing how her grandmother, her mother, struggled with motherhood? Maybe that's just her experience as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like making, if you believe it hard enough, you'll make it happen type of deal. Yes. Like, if you're looking for it, then you will see it. Yeah. Because that, like, Fox and his mother have a completely different relationship. Yeah. Like, to his mother, Fox is perfect. Like, he is the perfect child. Yeah. He can do literally no wrong. And so he has a very different idea of what motherhood is. Like, his mother sacrificed so much to give to her kids as much as she could.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, that's another discussion question, but... What does being a good mother mean? Does it require complete selflessness and unconditional love? And how much of yourself do you owe your children? And that's a loaded question, because we want to give our kids the world. But how much is, how I guess just how much in general?
Yeah. And should it be willingly? Because I feel like she was put in a position where Fox wanted her to stay home with Violet.
Yes.
Which, and she was a writer and wanted to continue writing, but she was stuck at home.
Yes, kind of forced to put her career on hold because of Violet. With a child that she already feels like she can't connect to and is like keeping her from things, but also she's just exhausted because Fox, that's another thing. Fox will, he doesn't get up in the night with Violet. He doesn't hear Violet. So it's pretty much all up to Blythe.
Yeah.
So she's running on zero sleep plus her phobias and paranoias about Violet.
Yeah. And she's the only one that experiences that because he's
gone all day at work.
Yeah.
And it's just the two of them. And she's the only one that experiences any type of behavioral outbursts from Violet, which are, it seems like they get more and more extreme as the book goes on.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first instance we see of anyone witnessing an outburst from Violet is Fox's mom, actually.
Yeah.
Which kind of bonds Fox's mom and Blythe a little bit closer together, because Blythe is like, oh, well, somebody else sees it. But basically, Violet... Blythe's trying to pick her up out of the bath, and Violet is, again, they haven't been able to make a connection, and she only wants Fox. She doesn't really want anything from Blythe to be touched or anything, and Blythe lifts her out of the bath, and Violet bites her in the cheek.
Yeah. There was a moment before that. Blythe was struggling very early on, so they get a nanny.
Yes, I forgot about the nanny.
And the nanny is about to leave, no longer helping them, and she's like, I can't remember what she said.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because now I'm remembering. Yeah. They did have a nanny for about 3 months after Violet was born, because Blythe, they were having such a hard time bonding, and the nanny, on her last night, I don't quite remember what she said either, but it was something like, it's like the first foreshadowing that something might be wrong or different with Violet. I shouldn't say wrong, but different.
Yeah.
Because she was very aware, even from like being a baby, they give her this almost adult awareness of her person and her body and other people.
I feel like the nurse said something along the lines of like, she really looks at you.
Yeah.
And then Blythe is like, oh yeah, she's very aware. And she describes how that's what she feels like she's supposed to say. Like, yes. She's just a super smart infant. But yes. The nurse kind of turns away, looks out the window, and there's something else there.
Browse from a great selection of fiction and nonfiction digital items in Hoopla. Hoopla also has a wide variety of popular comics for all ages. Library card holders are allowed 4 checkouts a month. Enjoy magazines and the great courses unlimited with a binge pass. A Hoopla binge pass gives you 7 days of unlimited access to great online content with a single borrow. To get started, visit ssjcpl.org. Yes, and you can tell there's intense foreshadowing. You can tell there's something else there. And Blythe is still trying to be this picture-perfect model of a mom she thinks she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And say all of these right words and these right buzzwords to different people about yeah. Violet. And this is definitely not to say that Blythe doesn't love Violet, because she definitely right. loves Violet a lot. They just don't seem to connect. And then as these behavioral outbursts or Blythe's perceived image of these outbursts of Violet, they grow further and further and further apart and are much less able to yeah. connect as a mother and a daughter, or even just two people, really.
I feel like there's, because this is over a long span of time.
Yes, this is, so it is generational, 3 generations, yeah. so we have that. But then just in Blythe, the main character, it's from Violet's birth until her, like, teenage years.
Yeah. And I feel like there's periods in their relationship where they kind of are unaware of each other. Or things are okay. Yes. But the reason that things are okay in their relationship is because they have a lot of distance between
yes.
them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. basically, and Blythe says it, too. It's just Violet doesn't need her. She doesn't yeah. need her for anything, even as just like a little toddler and a young elementary school kid.
Yeah.
They lead completely separate lives. Like Violet stays in her room and basically comes out to eat, but does her own thing. And then Blythe does her own thing, and their paths don't yeah. cross until Fox gets home from work. And then Violet just latches on to her dad.
Yeah.
And that's their relationship.
Yeah. And I feel like at every point, I just found Fox to be just a very irritating character.
He was infuriating because yeah. I think especially having the example of motherhood from his mother, where she yeah. was completely selfless, would just, I mean, it was almost like a Mrs. Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver type yeah. of motherhood, where she just did everything for them and had all of these things, that he doesn't see it any other way. And he doesn't yeah. want to help Blythe at all. He doesn't really believe her when she's no. describing anything, or even trying to get help for her, whether, you know, it is postpartum depression, trying to get her
yeah.
to talk to a therapist or see anybody. And then finally, she convinces Fox to put Violet in preschool so she has a little bit more time, and he didn't want to do that either.
Yeah. I feel like he really couldn't grasp that something, there might be like a behavioral problem with Violet or something, mm-hmm. you know, was up with, it was Blythe, there's something clearly wrong with yeah. you.
Yes.
'Cause a mother shouldn't be like this. I feel like that is what I understood from like all their interactions.
Basically, yeah. And it was hard yeah. to see kind of what brought them together in the first place before yeah. they became parents. It was almost more like Fox was in love with his image of Blythe and not the actual Blythe as a person.
Yeah. I feel like one of the discussion questions was something about how they were like consumed with their relationship.
Yes.
Or it was just like an infatuation really quickly.
Yes, number 7.
Yeah. I had nothing when I met you, and you effortlessly became my everything. What did you think about the quality of the relationship from the outset? I didn't understand it. I understood that yeah. they just met in college, and mm-hmm. she really had nobody.
No.
And he just seemed like, I guess to her, like a just a regular, perfect.
Yes. Person. Normal person.
Yes. Normal.
Because, I mean, Blythe, Cecilia's Blythe's mother, and she left her, basically, because Cecilia never wanted to have kids. Blythe was an accident. Yeah. She didn't actually want her. And she had grand aspirations of being a poet and doing all of these things, and she saw Blythe as a hindrance to that. And so she left her, and then Blythe is left with her father, who pretty much pines for Cecilia, and then kind of becomes an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And Blythe cuts ties, and that's her only family. Her grandmother had died. I will not disclose how she died. That's important in the book.
Yeah.
But she has no other family. She had no other siblings. And she completely cuts ties with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I feel like she has no one, so this seems like a perfectly normal. I feel like it reminded her of her neighbors.
Yes, his family.
So, I mean, and I don't know what his deal was towards her. It was kind of just like they got together.
Yeah, we have really no idea what Fox's perspective is for most of the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of think
them.
With them, like, she saw him as an opportunity to kind of rebuild herself and give herself a backstory that's more palatable to her other than what she actually had. Because he doesn't really know that much about her background either. She doesn't disclose a lot.
I think he has an idea, or it's mentioned just briefly, like, he knows about my mom, or he knows a little bit about my past. And I feel from that, he just built, like, a narrative that, oh, okay.
Yeah, and she just kind of let him build this narrative around her until it kind of gets out of control. And then, so things really ratchet up with Violet. Like, it has kind of a lull period, and then Blythe gets pregnant again with her son, Sam.
Yes.
And when Sam is born, it seems like everything is going much better. Everybody's getting along. Blythe, it's like just absolutely in love with this little boy. It's like the end all be all. She really feels that familiar, you know, the parent connection with Sam that she didn't feel with Violet. She's not suffering from whatever it was when she had Violet, whether it's postpartum depression, which it seems like it was, but they don't ever say.
Right.
She doesn't really seem to suffer that with Sam.
No, she is completely, like, in love with this child. Just, I feel like she thinks of Fox and Violet, they're just, like, off there, and it's just me and Sam. And she finally feels, like, those feelings of, like, that instant connection she felt like she was supposed to have with Sam. And that just made me feel like, is it because it's the second child and, just an opportunity to right all the wrongs, or is it because he's a little baby boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's hard to say because, I mean, there is another discussion question here about generational trauma, and the generational trauma in Blythe's family is definitely on the maternal side, or at least that's the perspective that we get, because we don't really hear anything about the fathers other than that they're either passive or pretty absent. And there is this idea of this generational trauma being passed from one generation of females to the next. And this child is a boy. And it could be that plays a factor in her ability to bond immediately with him.
Yeah, because it was very
stark of a contrast between the two babies. It was very dramatic.
It was, this child is evil versus, this child is my everything. Mm-hmm. She just wants to spend
every waking moment.
Yes. He's asleep. She goes over and smells him. And with Violet, it's just, well, with Violet, she would also just want to start her career again. Yes. So she would write. She would leave Violet crying.
Alone.
It was just, that part is what I found very uncomfortable, was the neglect.
Yeah.
And she felt like she was punishing Violet as an infant. And then,
but she liked it, is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was like almost, again, like they're giving, Blythe particularly is giving Violet all of these adult emotions, even as an infant, that she, I mean, she probably can't have, where it'd be like a tit for tat type of thing, where Violet would be really aggressive with her, even as a baby, or just uncompliant. And Blythe would then put her in her room for hours while she wrote.
Yeah.
As like a quasi punishment.
Yeah. And then we have her and Sam, where is just all her time is devoted to him. She, when she's not with him, she's thinking about him.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's just, it seems obsessive in both ways.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly right. Like, I feel like she is obsessive in different ways. Like, Blythe's obsessed with Violet being the bad child. She's obsessed with it, yeah. Or she's evil, and she can't see past it. And then with Sam, she's obsessed with him being basically like an angel.
Yeah.
And just obsessed with him in general to an unhealthy degree.
It really is, and I think that was the uncomfortable part, which I couldn't stop reading it. But also parts where she's describing, like, her love for Sam feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Because it's a lot. It's very, very obsessive. And she, it's like they form two camps once Sam is born. It's like Violet and Fox are together. Yes. They're one camp. And then Blythe and Sam are another camp. And they don't converge. It's just like a two-man island.
Yeah, definitely. And then I don't know if you want to continue with the stroller.
There is a really terrible incident with the stroller, and it is up to interpretation what you think, but yes. It kind of furthers this idea that Violet is inherently this bad seed. And that is another question on the reader's little guide here, is nature versus nurture. What we're born with, what comes to us inherently versus how we're made. Yeah. And, you know, I think that goes, especially in keeping to Violet, like, is Violet born this way? Is she born with these bad seed, violent tendencies? Or was she made that way?
Right. Because I think we see with Etta, with Cecilia, and with Blythe's upbringing, that there's some effort, but not really.
It's mostly neglect. They're all neglected. Yeah. They were all neglected as children.
And I feel like Blythe is at least putting in, at least during her pregnancy, a little bit more effort. Yeah. So
She
was trying. So it's a little confusing whether Blythe Violet from the get-go is not a nice kid.
Yeah. I mean, you do get kind of snippets that there is something in Violet. Inherently, like, with the nanny, like, there is something there, but would that have become what it did if Blythe had not pushed Violet away so violently?
Yes. But I feel like later on we start to see that, or we assume that Violet's actions are also directed at other people, but we're also kind of left questioning whether they happened.
Yes.
Or
like you do get an answer. I will tell you that. You do get an answer, but it's a somewhat non-answer.
Yes.
It's still up to interpretation. Like, I feel 90% I know what happened, but there's still that 10% of me that questions whether it did or not.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm like, I know what I want to believe.
Yes.
I know what I want the ending to be, because that would be a nice, neat conclusion.
Yes.
But also, it wasn't.
No.
There's like a smidge of that little 10% of...
Yes. And it's because you really don't know. I mean, the novel does go further on, and you get to see Violet a little bit as a teenager.
Yes.
And when Violet becomes a teen, Blythe actually kind of starts to sympathize with her in a way.
Yeah.
Like, Violet has a really hard time connecting with her peers. And so Blythe goes on a field trip with Violet's class. And all of the quote-unquote cool girls are kind of ignoring Violet. And she kind of actually sees her as an actual child instead of all of these adult emotions that she's been putting on Violet since Violet was a baby. She sees, like, oh, Violet's actually, she's a kid, she's a teen, she's, that's different than all of these preconceived notions I've had of her for so long.
Yeah, and I think at that moment, Violet's like, she's also accepted that whatever Blythe thinks of her is true. So at that moment, she's like, I don't want you to see me as a child. Yeah. I don't want you to see me as someone who struggles and has issues. I'm what you think I am, so I'm out of here. And she just kind of takes off.
And it's kind of like a power dynamic between the two of them. Like, Violet, like, Blythe has given Violet so much power over everything that then Violet feels like she needs to have that power. She needs to keep possessing that power. And when Blythe saw her powerless, shall we say, she had to take it back somehow.
Yes.
And she runs away from the field trip.
Yes. And just kind of where her father, or she goes to her father, and he's kind of like, just, she's here, she's safe.
Yeah.
Stay out of it?
Basically, kind of like, like,
there wasn't much concern there that she ended up back home, who knows how. And he's kind of just like, just leave her alone. Just leave her be.
Because he kind of also reinforces this island of just him and Violet together. Yeah. And Blythe is always on the outside of that little duo. And they both reinforce Blythe on the outside of that duo. And it, as Violet grows older and older, it's even harder for Blythe to get in there and try and participate in Violet's life because she's been so out of it for so long.
Yeah, and as she gets older, I feel like there's little bits of Violet also sympathizing with her mother.
Yes.
Or not wanting to be so cruel.
Yes.
But also, it just seems, like, very tense where they go back and forth. Like, they're very distant.
They are very distant.
And the times that they do connect is rough.
It is rough. Which... Ready to learn a new skill? Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of aspiring classes for creative and curious people. By partnering with the California State Library, we are able to provide you with 3 months of unlimited access to Skillshare Premium. Visit ssjcpl.org to find out more information. I mean, in some ways it could be, one, Violet acts out because she knows that's a guaranteed way to get Blythe's attention.
Yes.
And she doesn't have Blythe's attention ever. And then when she kind of realizes that, then she just is like, okay, well, if, you know, I don't get any attention from you, you don't treat me like Dad does, then I'm just going to go live with Dad and you can have your separate life how you want it.
Yeah.
But that's, it's a very complicated levels of emotion between those two.
Yeah.
I mean, literally from birth, it's very complicated between those two.
It's like little fights. And it, when she is living with her father, she kind of teases her mom, trying to see, is this going to bother you? If I tell you this, how are you going to react? It's very...
Yeah, and she's always kind of teased Blythe with those things, like, how is she going to react? Like, she'll say, like, I'm going to hurt this... Like, in preschool, she'd be like, I'm going to hurt this little kid tomorrow, just to see what reaction she'd get out of Blythe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the... Again, it's up to interpretation. Did she act on those thoughts or not?
Yeah, and things, as she gets older, it's almost like things are calming down with her acting out. But then she will ask questions that would lead you to believe she's going to do something very terrible.
Yes.
And then they don't happen. And you're like, okay, she was just acting out or... Mm-hmm. trying to get attention from her mother, and but they're very concerning things that she's asking.
They are very concerning things. Yes. And I mean, again, like we said, it's very reminiscent of the bad seed, or we need to talk about Kevin. Yes. Where there's so many things you're like, oh, that's really terrible, or you think it is. And then kind of towards the end, Fox offers some confirmation of Violet's violent tendencies, which we won't say what it is.
Yeah.
But there is some confirmation there that what Blythe experienced did actually happen.
Yeah.
At least in part.
There is, and that makes him all the more infuriating.
Yes.
Because it's like, you do see, you did see what was happening. You did see that Blythe was struggling, mm-hmm. and there was a reason behind it.
Yes. But he, I mean, in the moment when he discloses this information, it's like a ha-ha. Like, he just laughs it off. Like, oh, kids will be kids. But, I mean, it was clearly not a kids will be kids moment.
No, it was not normal.
No, it was very targeted. Behavior. And I think, again, with the that contentious relationship between Blythe and Violet, a lot of what Violet does is directly targeted at Blythe. Even if it's an indirect route, it's directly targeted at her mother.
Right. Because if it was things that she was going to do or said she was going to do to other people, she would always tell her.
Yeah, and only like, her.
Let's make you sweat.
Basically.
Make you worry. Make you think that something terrible is going to happen. Even if it doesn't, you're going to worry about it. Because there is an instance where they're out and about. No, Blythe's out and about by herself. She has to run back home because she thinks something terrible is going to happen.
Yes.
And it doesn't.
And it's fine.
It's just she's trying to get a rise out of her.
Very much so. Yeah. Pretty much throughout the entire book.
Yes.
And then, well, we won't tell you the ending, but it does, it's not necessarily a cliffhanger, but it does open more questions because Fox does get remarried. Well, did they get married to Gemma?
I don't know if they actually got married. I think they were... I don't think they got married.
Okay. Well, he started another family with Gemma, and she has another little boy. And that, for me, was the most uncomfortable part of the book. Blythe stalks Gemma a little bit. Well, not a little bit, a lot of it. And it was a very uncomfortable to read.
Stalks and then...
forms a relationship built on lies.
Yeah.
And towards the end, you kind of start to see if maybe Blythe has been actually telling the truth this whole time, because Gemma also experiences something with Violet. I mean, I think she probably experienced more, that is a discussion question is, do you think Gemma's always truthful with Blythe about her feelings for Violet or what she's experienced with Violet? And I don't think so.
I don't think so, because at some point, when they're having like these little, was it a mother's?
It's like they meet, like a mother's group in a bookstore.
Yeah, and at some point, Blythe is investigating Gemma's home life to see how things actually are.
To really kind of get, she really wants confirmation that Violet is what she thinks Violet is.
Gemma's response is, Blythe asks if her stepchild, like how her relationship is with her, and she kind of gives a non-answer. Oh, like she's on her phone. She's like, yeah, it's great. It's amazing.
Yes. But she did say something about like being a step-parent is always like a hard transition or something hard about it.
Yes. So I'm like, there's something there. Maybe I was reading a lot into it.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like there was something, like something happened.
Yes, and this is definitely part where you do kind of have to read between the lines, because it's not explicitly stated, but Gemma does remain in contact with Blythe even after the catfishing incident, which makes you think there's a reason.
Yes. Yes, because I feel even if, you know, you have that connection of being Violet's mother and her stepmother, ex-wife, and you want to be friendly, I think that's the line where you cut off contact with someone if they catfish you.
Yes.
Fake a whole entire friendship with you.
And family.
And yeah. That was, it was a lot that she did. It was very...
It's a very uncomfortable section of the book to read.
Yes. But I feel like that's where I would have been, I would have stepped away and not had any contact because... There's Fox. Fox can
intermediate between those two.
But she kept contacting.
Yep, she kept contacting and reaching out.
And I feel like at some point in the book, she was the main contact and Fox kind of was off. So I feel like, yes, there is something there. And then we get to the end of the book.
And that's your 90% definitive yes or no with 10% questioning. Which we will not reveal the end of this book. No. You really should read it for yourself. It is it's really nothing like anything I've ever read.
No.
And I was really uncomfortable while reading it, but I feel like that's just the power of Ashley Audrain's storytelling ability and writing ability to make you feel these emotions and really question yourself.
Yeah, I felt personally gaslit by the book.
Yes!
And it's just like the chapters are so fast.
They're so short.
It's almost like every tiny little chapter ends with a cliffhanger where it's just, you have to keep going.
You have to keep going because you really want to know, like, what's up with Violet? Is Violet the bad seed? Is Violet not the bad seed? Should we be worried about her or should we be worried about Blythe? Or both?
Right. It was just a wild ride.
It was a wild ride. Yes. I think if you did like The Push and you would like to read more things like The Push, we did mention we need to talk about Kevin, but that is a good read-alike by Lionel Shriver. Also kind of about the uncertainty and isolation that comes with motherhood and the questioning of, is this child the bad seed or not? And then I think you'll also like The Unprotected by Kelly Sakal, and that is another book that deals with motherhood and more explicit postpartum depression than The Push. I think you'll like both of those, and we hope to see you in June. We will be talking about a new book. I'm not quite sure what's going to be selected. I have a good idea, but it will be in our summer reading theme, which is Tales and Tales. We'll have summer reading from June 1st to July 31st. Adults are cool to participate. You just need to read 3 books, get some cool prizes. You can sign up online on the library's website at ssjcpl.org or come in once June 1st rolls around and get your physical reading log. If you would like to continue the conversation around The Push, if you've read it, you can go to goodreads.com, search SSJCPL. I would love to hear what you say. To stay up to date with library news, follow us at SSJCPL on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or visit our website at ssjcpl.org.